From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
So on today's show, I'm telling you this before I make a couple of announcements because I don't want you to go away. We have something you're going to want to stick around for, actually a controversial topic within the church, and that is the age of the universe. And Ray Mondragon is in studio. We'll be visiting with him with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. And actually, as we walk through today's conversation with Ray, we're going to open the phone lines at 338-5790. If for any reason you can't get through at the studio line at 338-5790, that's area 505-338-5790. You can text your question or comment to 505-585-5483. That's 505-585-LIVE. And at the end of today's show, we're going to draw two names that will get a couple of tickets to the 9th annual fundraising banquet for Under His Construction. We've heard from Chris Cleveland and the team there, and they are preparing for a night with comedian Ken Kingston on August 5th at 5 p.m. at New Beginnings Church on Montgomery. And we'll have a couple of pairs of tickets for a couple of different listeners today that participate in the conversation either with your text or your call. Here's the phone number again, 505-338-5790. And if for some reason you can't get through there, text your question or comment to 505-585-5483. That's 505-585-LIVE. All right, and then before we catch up with Ray, I do want to remind you about the featured ministry for KLYT through the month of July is starting over on the inside. Now, 25% of the U.S. population knows someone who's been arrested and or incarcerated, and introducing those that are in prison to Jesus and preparing them for return to society is really what Starting Over on the Inside is all about, which on Monday, if you listen to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams, he visited with Mark Skalberg, the founder and director of Starting Over on the Inside. And you can go back to abqconnect.online to listen to that entire conversation. And we'll hear from Mark throughout the month. We'll also hear various testimonies from participants in the program, of which there have been 650 graduates from Starting Over on the Inside. And it's been made available in the Colorado Department of Correction program in all their facilities, whether on-site or via video. And here's one of the participants, Derek, and what he had to say about the program.
Hi, my name is Derek. Starting Over on the Inside has been a blessing to my life and continues to change my life in positive ways. This program gave me the tools to move forward from my destructive path to a wonderful future God had planned for me all along. I always depended on others to determine where my life would end up. I've learned now that starting over begins with me. After being released, I had a choice to hold on to my pain and disappointment from my past or to start over new with the lessons I've learned. God used this program to change my heart and my ways of thinking. Now I find my new identity in Christ. Since being released, I've often gone back to my starting over workbook to encourage and remind me of who I am now and not who I was. Guys, I'm living proof that starting over on the inside is impacting lives. With your love, prayers, and support, you can be a part of something bigger. We've all had to start over at one point or another. Help those waiting to get out to start over know they can start over today. Help us show support by visiting klyt.fm and by clicking on the Starting Over on the Inside banner. And remember, with your help, they don't have to wait. They can start over on the inside today.
All right. Well, Derek needs a job in radio. great job not only sharing his testimony, but driving people to that website, klyt.fm. On the homepage there, near the top, you'll see a banner for Starting Over on the Inside. Just click that, and you'll find all kinds of information, including podcasts from the Colorado Director of Prisons. There's more testimonials and an opportunity to donate, whether it's a one-time gift or a recurring gift. Our goal is to reach $25,000 in July. We think that's possible, but go check that out at klyt.fm. All right, there's the announcements. And actually, I have another announcement. Ray Mondragon is in studio with us. I already announced it, but... we're doing it again with from Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. And that's not Ray's only hat. Ray actually serves as a professor at Chafer Theological Seminary. And this coming semester, Ray, hermeneutics, Bible study methods, you're going to be teaching.
Well, that's the main course that I teach. At least I consider it the most important one. So I don't do it all the time. So if people are interested in getting into the Word for themselves, this course will get you started. I didn't realize it, but I had a friend. He's become a friend over the years. But he took the course shortly after he became a believer, and I was not aware of that. But he said that was the best thing that could have happened to him as a new believer, how to get into the Word for himself.
And so, really, whether you're a new believer or it's
absolutely
been something you've kind of been walking through for years—
There are some pastors that need this course.
There's never a bad time to get sharper.
Absolutely.
If you want details, actually, you can go to chafer.edu. That's chafer.edu. Information there and opportunity.
And there's other courses register. As well.
Yeah.
In other words, there's a whole range of theology, language courses, both Greek and Hebrew, and others as well.
All right. That's a couple of the hats that you wear. You also host a website.
Yes, for His Glory, nm.com, where basically each of these interviews are on, along with other creation science talks. And in fact, entire courses, some of the courses that I teach for Chafer are on there.
Okay. We mentioned Ray being part of the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. They meet the
third Tuesday of the month.
Of each month at Faith Church at Moon and Central. And that's at 7 p.m.?
7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. On the third Tuesday.
That's next Tuesday.
Of each month. So, yeah, next Tuesday. If you want to go meet Ray in person and tell him you're listening, maybe show up with a question if you don't participate today. But, you know, if you participate by calling 338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. A couple of people are going to get a couple of tickets to that event for Under His Construction, the comedy of Ken Kingston on August 5th. So we'll leave that open. All right. Well, Ray, let's jump into an introduction to today's topic.
And that's basically all I'd like to get done today is just introduce it and kind of share a little bit why it's important and a little background, particularly a little. In fact, I want to give a brief historical overview to put this whole issue in context and give some of the reasons why it's controversial today.
Now, Ray, before we start, can I ask this? And if the answer is, well, let's get into it and then people can make their own decisions. There's some people who there's dispute about the age of the universe.
Yes, absolutely.
As Christians, if you're talking to two people who have differing views on the age of the universe, however, they both believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, does what they believe about the age of the universe change belief in the gospel?
It shouldn't. In fact, this is not an issue that should divide us as believers. But unfortunately, it has, and that's the reason it's good to talk about it so that we can hopefully encourage people to not only look at it from a biblical perspective, but actually make sure that we keep the priorities in order as well.
Well, Ray, let me say this. Come, let us reason together.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's jump in, and I've said it plenty of times to people who listen to this show. I'm a student when people come in and they, you know, I bring experts like you in that have this knowledge. So I'm looking forward to maybe learning something new.
Hopefully your audience will as well.
Yeah. So, all right. So where are we headed?
Well, like I said, it's the most controversial issue in creation science. Now, creation science obviously is somewhat within the umbrella of the church, but there's somewhat of a spectrum of understanding some of these issues, and some of the issues of the past have not been abandoned. So, and one of them, I believe, is this issue of the age of the earth. And again, we're a minority, those of us that believe in a young earth, and that's the viewpoint that I'm going to support. We'll describe the old earth view and talk about the support that they hold to. But by the time we get done, after a few months of discussion, hopefully I'll be able to lay out why I believe that the earth is relatively young. The issue is science today, and I'm talking about not only secular science, but a lot of believers that are involved in the sciences. They accept, and what I will describe as the evolutionary time frame, and I've already kind of tipped my hand there.
Right.
But the evolutionary time frame basically holds that the Earth is 4.5 billion years, the universe somewhere in the range of 13 to 20. It varies from writer to writer. So the issue is the Bible gives us a picture of a relatively recent Earth in the range of 6,000 to 10,000 years. Now, we're talking about magnitudes of difference here between thousands and billions.
Right.
So there's something wrong in some area here, and that's some of the things that we want to clarify by getting into the discussion here.
All right. So what I'm hearing from you is, and you and I, by the way, fall in the same camp as far as our belief in the age of the earth being thousands of years as opposed to
billions
of years. And let me encourage you in this, too. And if you are talking to someone who maybe tunes in the middle of this and is making assumptions about where Ray is coming from or where I might be coming from, listen to the entire conversation, because we are going to be covering information that that those who believe contrary to Ray
right,
and I,
right.
That they believe supports their position. So you can understand where they're coming from and have you'd be equipped to have a dialogue with someone about it. And to ask the questions. Again, the phone number's open at 338-5790. And if you have difficulty getting through, just text your question to 505-585-5483. All right. So, Ray, are we reviewing then some of those major areas of creation science?
Yeah, I want to kind of put this one in context. And what I want to do with the issue of the age of the universe is something similar to what we've been doing all along.
Okay. We're at a good place. If we're going to,
you want to take a break?
Yeah. If we're going to jump into that, we're going to come back and jump into a little bit of a review of some of the major areas of creation science. So when we come back, we'll do that with Ray Mondragon of a Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico. It's right after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
Our guest in studio today, Ray Mondragon with Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico, a controversial topic we mentioned in the first segment. We're going to be covering really for probably months, since Ray, you're in here once a month. But the age of the universe, there's those that hold to the old earth, of the earth being billions of years old, and then the young earth, which Ray and I both support, the age being just thousands of years old. And where we left off was mentioning what we're reviewing some of the major areas of creation science that we actually have covered over the last several months, but just to walk through them real quick.
Yeah. And what I'd like to do with the Age of the Universe is similar to what we've already done. And what we've done is we took the issue of creation versus evolution. And I'm going to give a brief kind of overview of why this became an issue within the church. And you have to look back at history to kind of understand that. And at the beginning, there were a lot of compromises. In other words, the church was unprepared to handle some of the scientific claims that were being made around the 1700s.
Why is that? A disconnect from science in general?
Well, I think it comes from Enlightenment thinking. And during the Enlightenment, the intellect of man was given high prominence. And there was a movement away from a biblical worldview. So the common little phrase, reason over revelation. In other words, man has the capability of thinking through all of these issues, and you look to science and you study things and you can come to conclusions. You don't need the Bible. You don't need God. So it's a movement away from that. And the church at the time,
bad move.
Yeah. was unprepared to handle some of these arguments, particularly that were coming out of the scientific community. Before the 1700s, essentially, the dominant worldview was the biblical worldview. Now, that didn't mean everybody was a Christian or everyone even agreed or everyone believed, but it dominated the culture. In other words,
kind of like America.
Yeah.
Well, honestly.
Yeah. It dominated the culture. And the idea was, well, there must be a creator. And the Bible talks about creation, and it talks about 6 days of creation, and there must be a recent earth. So it wasn't an issue in the 1700s. It's not till Enlightenment thinking and the latter part of the 1700s that people began to question and to wonder, is the Bible really needed? Is the Bible really accurate? Because geology is coming up with all of these other ideas that seem to make the earth old or seem old. So a lot of these ideas, the theologians and pastors and people in Christianity didn't have answers for them. So one of the first compromises was theistic evolution. That's trying to put together some of the thinking of the secular culture along with an understanding of the Bible. In other words, well, maybe God may have used evolution in some way to create all things. So they tried to put together evolution with biblical thinking called theistic evolution. It was a compromise because they were intimidated with the science. And later on, the issue of the Genesis flood came up, and we dealt with the Genesis flood, the issue of Genesis flood versus secular science.
Quite effectively, I might add. If you missed those conversations that Ray and I had over the last several months, I'd encourage you to go to abqconnect.online. Just search Ray Mondragon, and you'll find that. Or Ray, they can find those conversations on your site as well.
On the website, yeah, I basically have downloaded them from your site. So,
and remind us again, the website.
forhisglorynm.com. And it's under the Creation Science tab, and look for radio interviews. So anyway, the church wrestled with the idea of a Genesis flood. And as geology developed, in fact, in the 1800s, Charles Lyell promoted this idea of uniformitarianism, and we discussed it, and that's the idea that if you study present processes today and you come up with rates, for example, the rates of sedimentation and those kinds of things, all you have to do is just project them back into time. And you get an idea of how long it took for some of these layers to be laid down in the geological column. So he came up with this idea to interpret the geological column. And if you do that, you can come up with millions and millions of years adding up to billions of years.
Well, of course, he and we discussed this in our other conversations. He wasn't there to witness what happened at Mount St. Helens.
No. More recent. Yeah. Right. So these ideas like Charles Lyell and James Hutton, who introduced some other secular ideas into the thinking of mankind. This is early 1800s. They kind of laid the groundwork for Darwin, who took these ideas and wrote a book mid-1800s, and we're still suffering the effects of it even today. And that thinking began to dominate. So in terms of the Genesis flood, again, theologians were totally unprepared. How do you handle this issue? Well, maybe the flood was local. We believe in a flood because the Bible teaches it, but science seems to be so convinced and so overwhelming in terms of its claims that maybe there's only a local flood. So we discussed the local flood issue. But I think today, with some of the evidence that we presented, particularly some of the recent research of John Baumgartner, Steve Austin, and others, the scientific community, not entirely, but at least a minority within there, is looking more at catastrophic events. And last time when we talked about Mount St. Helens, we had a good example of what can happen in a very rapid rate in a short period of time that can produce similar phenomenon as what you see in places like the Grand Canyon, etc. So this whole issue of the local flood is, we're making some headway. And I mention all of this because when it comes to the issue of time, we're kind of in the same position in terms of the church. And I think even within the creation movement, there are several creationists that have a high view of the Bible, but they still hold on to what I would describe as the evolutionary time frame. Now, they would not use that because they would want to distance themselves from evolution, but it's essentially the same time frame, the billions of years of Earth history.
And so, I mean, would they fall under theistic evolution?
Well, they would have abandoned it, and some of them may have abandoned the local flood issue, but they still cling to the
creation,
the old Earth viewpoint. Yeah. But what we're going to do, not today, I'm just going to give you an introduction today. We will look at, well, does the science support it? And when we looked at the Genesis flood, I hope I showed that there is overwhelming scientific evidence that supports a what we describe as a universal flood or a worldwide flood. And there's no reason for the church to hold to a local flood. And I think there's, I wouldn't say overwhelming evidence yet, but there's ongoing research. In fact, a world-class scientist, Russ Humphreys, has done a lot of research in this area.
Who we've had on this show in the past,
I think. Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Jim and or Peter have had
Dr. Jim Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I invited him, and we had a good discussion. But people like him who are doing ongoing research in this area are beginning to gather the scientific evidence that supports a relatively young Earth in the range of thousands as opposed to the range of billions of years.
All right. Well, if you just tuned in, we're in studio with Ray Mondragon with the Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico. And our discussion today is the introduction to a look at the age of the universe, very controversial within the church. Some hold to old Earth that believes
the majority of the church.
Yeah.
In fact, the majority of those within the creation movement.
And I keep saying old Earth. Old universe,
they believe,
mm-hmm. Billions of years, where the young would be along the lines of thousands of years. And we're going to continue to look at what each of those camps are using to support what their belief is. And if you have a question about it, we'd love to hear from you. You can either call 505-338-5790. And Professor Mondragon will acknowledge your hand raised and call on you. We'll cover the question and, God willing, together find an answer. Again, that phone number is 505-338-5790. If for any reason you can't get through there, text 505-585-5483. That's 505-585-LIVE. And we'll continue our conversation when we come back from the break right here on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
We are in studio for the full hour today with Ray Mondragon. Ray is part of the Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico. He's also a professor with Chafer Seminary, which they're getting ready for another semester. One of the classes that Ray is going to be teaching, hermeneutics, Bible study methods, and the details and registration information for that at chafer.edu, Chafer, C-H-A-F-E-R.
And by the way, hermeneutics, big word, but what it means, we will study the principles of interpretation. In other words, what are the proper principles that you should utilize in interpreting Scripture?
Okay.
And that's very, very important.
And quick question, Ray, whether someone wants to register and, you know, sign up, pay to go through Chafer's courses or audit classes, is that an option?
Yeah, auditing. In fact, a lot of students audit. I've told you of housewives and Sunday school teachers that are not looking for a degree or full-time ministry.
And guys looking for maybe a student or someone working, you know.
Elder in a church, church leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So something to consider. I also wanted to rewind a little bit to our last segment. You brought up a name that both of us were familiar with, and that is Dr. Russ Humphreys. He's got a PhD. He's a physicist in creation science. He's joined us on this show before with Jim Williams as host. I want to say even maybe back to when Peter Benson was hosting the show. However, before I said that you could find it, I wanted to go, and I did. If you go to abqconnect.online and just search Dr. Russ Humphreys, just type in, I typed in Russ and found it. Steve Russo came up as well, but it's easy to
sort the two.
Dr. Humphreys is spelled H-U-M-P-H-R-E-Y. Yes, and you can go back and listen to those discussions.
In fact, I might even invite him to some of our future.
He's welcome.
I'll have to check with his schedule.
And you'll also find that conversation again on Ray's website. That's forhisglorynm.com, and that's F-O-R-4, forhisglorynm.com. And in today's discussion, we're kind of reviewing the history of how some of these thoughts came about. And we've kind of found ourselves, in the early 1900s? Are we still?
We can kind of jump in about there, yeah.
Okay. Left off talking about people like James Hutton and Charles, Lyell,
mm-hmm.
and their influence, really, on Darwin.
Early 1800s, end of 1700s.
And his book. So
and the church was just unprepared to answer, so they came up with a lot of these compromises that the church is plagued with to this very day. And partly because most theologians or church leaders are not familiar with the things that we've been talking about the last 4 years now. We've had 4 years of this series on. So we've tried to inform the public, and this material is available. There's all kinds of books. In fact, by the mid-1900s, since Morris and Whitcomb put out the Genesis Flood, there's been this coming about of a new movement called creation science, where scientists have been doing research and showing that not only is evolution a faulty theory, but a local flood idea is not supported by science, and coming up with things like John Baumgartner and his flood model that tell us that the flood scientifically is supporting a worldwide flood. So
okay, there's a lot of information available. Just did a quick search for Morris and Whitcomb, and what I found was a book they did together called The Genesis Flood, the biblical record and its scientific implications. So wherever you look for literature, you do a search for that, and you'll find it online.
It's a classic.
Whitcomb, by the way, is Whitcomb. Mm-hmm. And Morris is Morris.
Morris. Yeah, Henry Morris was an engineer.
Yeah.
He's no longer with us. And John Whitcomb was more of a theologian, and they combined together to come up with the classic book, The Genesis Flood, that essentially kicked off this whole modern movement called creation science. And all this
preparing the church to
answer these compromises.
Yeah.
And we're still doing research and still dealing with issues like the age of the universe. So we're kind of in the process of dealing with that issue. And what I'll be giving you is some of the cutting edge research and ideas that supports what the Bible says. If you take a straightforward reading and putting together the data of the Bible, gives a relatively young Earth in the range of thousands rather than billions.
Right, which would support really a literal interpretation of Genesis.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And many of these compromised views have departed from the traditional grammatical, historical, contextual approach to interpreting biblical passages like Genesis.
And what I love about it is it's more about following the science, which God supports,
right?
Not necessarily, well, because he said it.
Yeah. The science is there.
Yeah.
The science is there. It's unknown by many.
When I say he, I don't mean God. I mean following other men who've written things.
Right.
Based on what, you know, they're finding that doesn't necessarily line up with the science that's being, like you said.
Well, I call it secular science.
Yeah.
That has actually moved away from some of the initial scientific principles of some of the founders of modern science, like,
and we've talked about that before.
Oh yeah.
Almost changing science to meet your conclusion.
And we're talking particularly historical science.
Yeah.
When we're dealing with issues of the past, many assumptions that are faulty assumptions are imposed upon the data. The data, like the geological column, and we raised a different way of looking at the same data. We don't change the data, but we interpret the data from a biblical worldview. And when you do that, you see that the data actually better supports what the Bible teaches.
Well, you know, time just goes right by, and just looking at our syllabus for today, as Professor Mondragon is prepared, it's a good place actually to take a break, and we're gonna come back and talk about some of those compromise views that we'll be covering.
We'll get a start. And if we don't get done, we just pick it up next time.
Yeah, we'll lay it out and let you know where we're headed and talk about some of this and answer your questions if you have them. Again, the phone line's open at 505-338-5790. And if you have any difficulty getting through there, or if you prefer to text, we'd love to hear from you that way. 505-585-LIVE. Couple of tickets to an event with Under His Construction to see comedian Ken Kington on August 5th at New Beginnings Church. Compliments of the folks at Under His Construction. Two pairs of tickets. So two different listeners today could end the show with those and be prepared to go to that event. All you need to do is join the conversation, 338-5790 or text 585-LIVE. That's 5483. All right, we'll be back with more with Ray Mondragon right after the break on ABQ Connect.
on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
And if you actually connect with us either by calling or texting, as you just heard, we've got some tickets for you for an event on August 5th at New Beginnings Church to see comedian Ken Kington. Part of the 9th annual fundraiser for Under His Construction with Chris Cleveland and Sonia Cleveland and Ben Gonzalez, the people that are putting that together and reaching out to at-risk men and women in our community. What a great work that they're doing. Hey, later in the week, tomorrow on ABQ Connect, an update from Paul Gessing at the Rio Grande Foundation. And on Friday, typically Friday, we catch up with the Heritage Foundation, get an update from them on current topics that impact you. And we also get our Friday financial update from John Moore Associates, Brian Cochran. So we plan on doing that on Friday's show, as well as the first part of the show is going to be spending time with Kevin Miller, and I believe Taylor Bronis is going to be in studio with us as well from Man Up, the men's ministry at Calvary Church. They have an event coming up this Friday, guys, that you may want to be a part of, but they'll be on the show on Friday to remind us about that evening's activities. So abqconnect.online for past shows, and there's a heads up about what's coming later in the week, so we hope to have you part of both. We hope you'll be a continued part of our conversation today with Ray Mondragon with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. And I've already mentioned a couple of times, Ray, his involvement with Chafer Theological Seminary as a professor there and the upcoming semester on hermeneutics, essentially Bible study methods.
Yep.
Ray will be walking through. Which you can, you know, obviously choose to be a part of going through a course with Chafer or auditing the class that Ray's teaching. You'll find details and registration information at chafer.edu. Our conversations today and past found at abqconnect.online and also on Ray's website, forhisglorynm.com. That's forhisglorynm.com. We're in the midst of what's really a controversial conversation within the church, Ray.
Yes, yep.
And that is those who believe in old earth, new earth, or old universe, new universe, or not new, young, I guess is the word.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about, we reviewed a little bit about what we talked about as far as evidence, scientific evidence,
yep,
for a biblical worldwide flood.
Mm-hmm.
Today jumped into some of the history, what brought about some of the views towards deviating from a young earth, a young universe, to those who believe in billions of years as opposed to thousands of years. Where we left off before the break was we were about to go into some of those, where the compromise went and what mm-hmm. some of those views are that we'll be covering.
Yeah. And I guess what I was stressing as well is, as we've been going through this whole series for the last 4 years, one of the trends that we've been observing is, if you look at it from a historical viewpoint, some of these compromised views have been abandoned by the church, but some of them still persist because people are unaware of the science that has been going on for the last 50, 60 years now in a movement called the Scientific Creation Movement that Creation Science Fellowship is a part, and I support and have been a part for several years myself. So just like what we discussed with the Genesis flood, and I kept stressing that there's overwhelming scientific evidence that supports a worldwide flood. We talked about evidence from plate tectonics, from paleontology, coal petrology, petrophysics, geology, volcanism, massive erosion, climatology even. And then last time we talked about Mount St. Helens, recent events that have contributed to the database.
And as catastrophic as that was, it was kind of it was like a small scale of what did occur.
We believe the worldwide flood.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, Mount St. Helens, if you want to use an analogy, would be like a little pimple on the face of the earth.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess what I'm leading at in this introduction is we're still in the process of sorting out the science relating to the age of the universe. So some of these compromised views still persist quite a bit, not only within the church, but even within the creation science movement. And just as probably theistic evolution is abandoned in the church, except those that are way behind the times, and just as we're making some headway in the local church, now these are compromised views, what has cropped up and has persisted since the late 1800s when secular science not only was pushing evolution, but the idea that there's no evidence of a Genesis flood,
Okay.
In fact, that persists today in historical science.
That
secular science.
Okay, they don't even hold to the local.
No.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
So also there were a multitude of compromise views, that's how I describe them, to try to harmonize. In other words, we want to believe the Bible, but science seems to be overwhelming in its persistent claims that the universe is 14 to 20 billion years old.
And
is
that because of interpretation?
Well, partly. Yeah, we're dealing with historical science.
Yeah.
We're trying to interpret the age of the universe. So we're talking about history here, or the age of the universe. This is ancient history. How do you compromise that with what the Bible seems to indicate, a relatively young? And unfortunately, just like with the other views, the one that loses out in every one of the debates is the Bible. You have to compromise the Bible.
Yeah.
And just a listing of some of them, and we'll just begin discussion on the first one.
I have a quick question, Ray.
Okay.
Are we seeing scientists who are investigating the evidence don't necessarily believe the Bible, but as they investigate the evidence and finding that the evidence actually does support what the Bible says, mm-hmm. making decisions for God, for Christ, because of what they're finding in scientific evidence?
I think there are a few. But as we've discussed before, the issue is not always with the science, and it's not always with the data. It's a heart issue.
Yeah.
But the reason we do this research is it gives us an apologetic, and mm-hmm. it gives us an opening to discuss some of these issues with people that are more science-oriented. And it oftentimes opens the door so that we can present the good news about what Christ has done for us to solve the spiritual issue, the fact that we are separated and condemned by a holy God.
Okay, well, we have several of the compromised views to look. And listen, we're going to start on this list, and if today we don't get through this,
we'll pick up.
Yeah, we'll pick up where we left off.
Well, one of the views to begin with is what's called the day-age theory. This is probably the first one that popped up in theological circles. And obviously the thinking was, well, if the science seems to indicate that the earth is relatively old, billions of years old, 4.5 billion, then we have to somehow harmonize Genesis. So the days of Genesis 1, maybe they were not intended to be literal 24-hour solar days. And maybe what God is giving us is a summary of these long ages that are not days. They're presented as days, and they're chronological, and maybe they fit the geological data better.
May I raise my hand?
Yes.
What do those people do with there was evening, or there's morning and there was evening?
Well, there's a lot of interpretive issues. They would have to spiritualize all of those little details in the text.
Okay.
And that's what they have to do.
All right.
But obviously, if we hold to a more literal approach or grammatical, historical, contextual,
I think I'm going to probably stay there.
Yeah, you have a problem. So one of them was called the day-age theory. Probably the most popular and the one that still persists in some circles and one that people are probably most familiar with is what's called the gap theory. And this was popularized actually by the King James Version, or at least later printings of the King James Version, that had a note in it that tried to explain the possibility of between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, insert a gap in there. You can insert the fall of Satan, and you can insert other issues relating to the earth, and you can insert any number of billions of years that you would be satisfied with into that gap. And the Bible doesn't describe it, but it's there, and it helps us harmonize Genesis 1 with all this scientific data that we're getting.
Got another question.
So the gap theory is one that has plagued the church for many, many years, and there's a problem with it as well.
All right, so historians, forgive my ignorance. I'm going to ask the question. Does the New King or does King James Version line up with the Enlightenment period?
No. Well, this would be after. This would be around the
post-Enlightenment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the thinking is the background that set forth this scientific different approach. There's also what's very popular today, particularly within creation circles, is what's called progressive creationism. Progressive creationism. And we'll have to address it in some detail next time.
Yeah, let's do that. So we talked about three of the compromised views of the theistic evolution, the day-age theory, and the gap theory. And if you're talking with someone about this, that you heard it on the radio, you'll be able to find it. I'm thinking later today we'll probably have posted today's conversation.
Oh, good.
At abqconnect.online. However, the next time we get together, Ray, that'll be in August. Look forward to talking about the age of the universe and biblical evidence that supports.
We'll probably review some of these compromised views in order to kind of introduce. And what I'd like to begin with is a discussion of the biblical data. In other words, why is it important to hold to what the Bible seems to indicate, a relatively young earth?
Okay, we'll go there next month with Ray Mondragon, and thanks for joining us today and each day. Tomorrow, join us, Paul Gessing, Rio Grande Foundation, in the 1 o'clock hour on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.